So for our school, for our synagogue, and for our community, it's been quite a week. The outpouring of emails, meetings, phone conversations, discussions, hearsay, has probably exceeded any other controversy that I'm aware of that I've been involved with in the synagogue, and I've been involved with a few. In this, people on all sides are persuaded. I'll give everybody a second to come in and have a seat if you like, since we started early. Go ahead. I'm only getting revved up. Come in, have a seat. Then we'll talk. Just do it quickly, please. Find a seat wherever you can, as fast as you can. One of the things that I've discovered this week is that people on all sides are convinced that the other side just doesn't get the point. Not only that, but I would like to tell you the phrase that I have heard more often this week than any other. Here's the phrase. Everyone I speak to says. And then I hear the point of view of the speaker. So let's turn to the Torah to start off. In the Torah portion this week, where we have the tochecha, the rebuke, it says, V'yikalshu ish v'achim. One person will stumble over his brother. And the rabbis say what that really means is that Israelites will stumble because of each other. In other words, yes, we have external enemies, but really we do more damage to ourselves than others do to us. We stumble because we make each other stumble. And because we're so interconnected, there are two promises in the verse that preceded. It says, V'yashavtem bavetach, you will sit securely, V'natati shalom ba'aretz, and I will give you peace in the land. And the rabbis say, why do you need both? If you're sitting securely, you have peace. And they say, no, you're not. That you can be safe, you can be secure, and Jews will still find a way to fight with one another. And that making peace among ourselves is different from being secure from external enemies. And sometimes, remarkably enough, in the midst of trying to create peace, what we create is strife. So as most of you know, this last week, our school, Sinai Akiva Academy, took out an ad that began in quotes to Persian with the intent of saying, people who say that don't know us, who we really are, and what it means to have that kind of community and diversity here. But here is one of the things that I learned this week that, like all lessons, we already know, but we had to learn again. Which is, when you say something ugly, in order to say people who say they shouldn't say it, you've still said something ugly. That's why, to draw a very different comparison, and it's very different, when people say the N-word, why don't they say the word? Because if something ugly comes out of your mouth, it's ugly. And many people felt that, and it didn't matter then what followed it, they just felt the sting of the phrase, the pain of it. So I started to get notes and letters. Some of them said, you should apologize. And then I started to get the backlash to the backlash. Don't apologize. But let me tell you, I have always learned from the time I was a child, from my mother, whose face appeared on the front cover of that Jewish journal where the ad appeared, when you hurt someone, especially someone you care about or someone you love, you apologize. It doesn't matter if some people weren't hurt or some people supported what you did. If you hurt, you say, I'm sorry. You say, I'm sorry to have been part of something that hurt people whom I cherish and who felt a violation of the first principle that I have tried to remember, that I was told by an old rabbi when I was a rabbinical student, and I was speaking at some event in someone's home, and a rabbi came up to me. I don't even remember who it was. All I remember was that he was a retired rabbi. I wish I remembered who it was. And he said to me, listen, if you're going to be a rabbi, there's only one thing you have to do. I said, what's that? He said, you have to love Jews. If you don't love Jews, your life will be miserable. He didn't say you always have to be happy with Jews, or you always have to agree with them, but you have to love them. And if you say something that is not seen as an expression of love, then you violated what in Star Trek they call the prime directive. He didn't say this kind of Jew or that kind of Jew. Or Jews who come from where you come from or where your parents came from. He just said Jews. But as I learned anew this week, it doesn't mean that as a result you can treat all Jews the same, because not everybody's experience is the same. So when people said to me this week, how would you feel if at Beverly Hills High they said, in quotes, too Jewish? I said, wouldn't bother me at all if they were saying it to contradict bigotry. But of course, I grew up here. I never faced discrimination almost in my entire life. Nobody ever said to me, because you're Jewish, you can't do this or you can't do that or you can't do the other thing. I never felt unprotected. And when I felt attacked, if I did, I always knew that I had a voice to defend myself. For too many, though, even if born here, that hasn't been the experience. The experience has been one of exclusion, of discrimination, and not only from non-Jews, sometimes from Jews. And so you hear phrases like that differently, based not only on your own experience, but the experience of your parents and your grandparents. The experiences you hear growing up. And so what was intended as an expression of embrace, and it was, because I know as you do, the people who crafted and wrote and published that ad are, they're us. All of us. Through the community of the school and the community of the synagogue, what was intended as an expression of embrace was felt as an assault. But Jewish history and Jewish tradition, if they teach us one thing, it is this. More perhaps consistently than any other lesson, which is every experience, especially painful ones, every experience is an opportunity. And we have to do this not only for ourselves, but especially for our children. Because the unity of the Jewish people is not a nice thing or a good thing. It is a necessary thing. It is essential in this world, as it has always been. And you know, and I do, that this community is interleaved, intermixed. That to speak of Sinai Temple without speaking of a Persian Jewish community is to speak of a Sinai Temple that wouldn't look like this, that wouldn't be full on Shabbat morning, that wouldn't have half our school. Wait, you've got a lot more coming. Our Young Leadership Award is being given, as a matter of fact, to the mother of one of our Benot Mitzvah this morning, Sarah Zarabian. Linda Sachs wrote me yesterday and said, look at the petition that's being signed at UCLA against the ban for people to run who've had free trips to Israel. If you look at it, she said, it's all our Sinai Akiba graduates, not only those of Persian background and those of Ashkenazi background, but of Russian background, of Israeli background, of South American and Latin American background, faculty and students. This is who we are. It's just who we are. In our parsha, there's that strange phrase about a lev arel, an uncircumcised or stopped up or blocked heart. And this week, I was teaching the story of Adam and Eve to an Atid class. And someone asked me, why a rib? Why does God take a rib from Adam? Adam has lots of parts. Could have taken his brain, he could have taken his foot. Why a rib? And my answer was, because the rib is what protects the heart. And if you're going to connect to another human being, you have to expose your heart. You have to lead with it. You have to leave it open. You can't be defensive or closed or prejudiced. You have to be willing to listen and willing to learn. It's one of the reasons why the headmaster of Sinai Akiba, who is sitting behind me, Dr. Shulkin, and I have been working along with our president, Joel Weinstein, on creating a series of small groups and facilitated conversations and bringing in outside people who are expert in this so that we can not only talk to each other, but we can hear each other. Understand who we are. Take the controversy as a catalyst. Take the rib, uncover the heart, and make a new being. I mean, look. It's not only a function of who Sinai Temple is. What's the Los Angeles Jewish community without a Los Angeles Persian Jewish community? We're so diminished, so much less. And so this morning, I decided to make a resolution that I hope you will follow me in. Even yesterday, someone asked me, what percentage of Sinai Temple is Persian, what percentage is Ashkenazi? And I think I said, oh, I don't know, 50-50, something like that. I'm not really sure. They're talking about the membership rolls. I haven't looked. I'm not going to say that anymore. And I don't want you to. Next time someone asks you, and someone will ask you, here's the answer that I hope we will all give. Sinai Temple is 100% Jewish. That's the only good answer. It's the only good answer. Any other answer diminishes us. Playing this stupid percentage game as though it matters. Our parsha is called Bechukotai. But that's not the first word of the parsha. The first word of this morning's parsha is the most important word in the Torah. It's a very short word. In Hebrew it's im, in English it's if. If is the most important word in the Torah and in our lives. If we use this pain as a ladder instead of a pit, then we climb instead of falling. If we learn to uncover our hearts to one another and accept instead of judge. If we proceed with openness and not with anger, if we remember that in the unity of the Jewish people is the only salvation of the Jewish people, and in our division is our doom. All of us together. Then our children will know something that we haven't known, which is a community where difference isn't division. It's just beautiful. And where Jews will be blind to the idea that differences matter inside of our own community. We ended the book today of Leviticus, and we said, Chazak, chazak, v'nid chazek, strong, strong, and may you be strengthened. But you know, the traditional Persian answer to someone who has an aliyah is what? Chazak u'baruch. So chazak in one tradition is used as a singular for one person who has an aliyah, and in the Ashkenazi tradition it's addressed to the kahal who's finished the book. It's a plural. In other words, you have to be strengthened both as an individual and as a community. We have work to do on ourselves, each one of us, and I certainly don't exempt me. Each one of us, from all the communities, we have work to do on ourselves, and we have work to do together. But it's good work. It's beautiful work. It's important work. It's work that is central to what it means to be Jewish. And it's work that strengthens us both as individuals and as a people. It was a very hard week. In a meeting that I had with Dr. Shulkin, one of the many meetings that we have with parents, someone said to me, "You look even worse than I thought you would." And I thought, you don't know, I feel worse than I look. And while I am sorry for the pain, I am not sorry for the chance. This wasn't, obviously, the way that anybody involved in that ad wanted this to go, but we can turn this blight into a blessing. We really can. All it takes from each of us is time and care and openness and love. Love doesn't mean you overlook people's faults. Love means you love them. Nobody has to be perfect to be loved, or none of us would be loved. That's what we need as a synagogue. God knows we need it as a Jewish people, but we need it as a community. Sometimes we are callous, we are tone deaf, we are distant. And when that happens, we have to listen better and love more. I'm coming up on 18 years as the rabbi of Sinai Temple. So I know, I can say without any fear that this is not true, that we have that time, that care, that openness, and that love. I have experienced it again and again and again. This morning, in my discussion with Ebi, he said, you know, there are people who still, every Shabbat, are praying for your health. I just want you to know that. It brought tears to my eyes. Who could not want to be part of such a people and part of such a community? Who wouldn't thank God that they're part of such people and such a community? This morning in the Haftarah, we read Jeremiah says, Rifa'eni Adonai ve'erate, heal me and I'll be healed. But in our Amidah, we've changed that. we say, Rifa'enu Adonai b'nei Rafay, heal us, then we'll be healed. Nobody in the Jewish people gets to be healed alone unless all of us are healed. So, we reach out our hands, all of us, to one another, to do better, to listen better, to care more, to love more, so that we will be healed as God meant us to be. Shabbat shalom.